So actually, my dad got first married to somebody else, and they got divorced. And I know there was a lot of trauma on his part from that, just because she took the kids and kind of lied to them and prevented him from seeing them. There was cheating on her behalf, so that kind of messed with my dad a lot. And then from his childhood, I know that his mom used to physically abuse him a lot, extremely. I know that my mom would tell me that she would break plates on his head, and he would be sent to the hospital, and basically he had to lie about what happened. So when my mom and dad meet each other, it was at her mom's house. And basically my grandma knew my dad because he was a photographer, and they already had a pre-existing friendship. He had done some photography for her, and he was hired to be my mom's photographer for one of her birthday celebrations and whatever. That's kind of how my mom and my dad developed a friendship first, and then a relationship. Because my grandma was in a Pentecostal family, him having already previously been married and having kids, and then wanting to have a relationship with my mom, it didn't really sit well with a lot of people. And even though my grandma was Pentecostal, she had some sisters who were into witchcraft. And from my dad's side, even though there was Catholicism, there were people like some of his aunts and uncles or cousins, I'm actually not sure exactly who it was on my dad's side, they were involved in witchcraft. And so my mom would tell me that sometimes when they would go to like my dad's parents' house, my grandma, from my dad's side, they would actually sometimes see candles. And one time they found candles in the microwave and a picture of them, like they were trying to do some kind of voodoo or like a hex on them. Just people not being happy that they were together, not for any particular reason, just there being rumors and stuff. So there was a lot of, like, when they were meeting, there was a lot of people trying to get in between them. There would be, I mean, fights. My mom's cousin would get into fights with my dad, and I mean they had to go to court over certain things too. So just a lot of chaos when my parents were trying to get together. So no witchcraft directly from my grandparents on both sides, but just from other members in their family trying to, cast things on them. And I think just overall trying to curse the relationship. And I know my aunt from my dad's side, she's still involved with New Age spirituality, not negatively towards us, but she is still involved with that. And I know when I was getting into it, she was kind of like talking to me more about it and stuff like that. So that's kind of the witchcraft that was from their ancestors. I don't know if there was any like familiar spirits or anything like that, but I do know there was some involved when they were trying to get together.
Okay, so having a history of witchcraft and Christianity in kind of both families, how was your family growing up? You grew up in Puerto Rico, so I think it's important to mention because there's a lot more witchcraft that happens in Central and South America. How was your life growing up? How was the faith in your household, and how did that all kind of work?
So funny enough, I actually wasn't exposed to witchcraft in Puerto Rico. It actually started happening. I started learning about it more when I came to America, weirdly enough. I know there's a lot of like voodoo and witchcraft that's done in the Caribbean, but I never was too exposed to it. We actually grew up very Christian, and I think that has a lot to do with how my grandma was in the Pentecostal side of Christianity, so she was very strict with my mom and her growing up. So it kind of just translated into my life. There was a lot of, we would go to church a lot, and that's about it, honestly, though. We would just go to church. I knew my grandma was very religious, so there was always that respect for her. But I didn't know too much about witchcraft growing up. It was just Christianity, and that would go as far as just really going to church. There was no talk about Jesus or having a relationship in the household. It was more fear-based because that's how my mom grew up. It was like, you can't shave your legs because you're going to hell. You can't put up Christmas lights on the tree because it's pagan. You know, you can't go to the beach in revealing clothes. You have to wear a long jean skirt type of thing. Everything was just very, it's just very fear-based.
Okay. And in your story, obviously, we're going to get later into what happened in your life, but spirituality has been involved from the beginning. You had prophetic dreams as a child. Do you remember a few of them? Do you have a few examples of what that was like when you were young?
So as a child, very, very young, I don't remember any specific dreams. I just know that I would dream a lot symbolically. There was a lot of like water involved. So a lot of times before something bad would happen in my family, I would dream a lot with storms or with like tumultuous water. And I would tell my mom and she's like, yeah, that has to do with emotions, or, you know, like dirty water has to do with, you know, stuff being unclean. There were a few times that I had specific dreams. This one I do remember. I do remember one time when I was younger, I had a dream about somebody being in a car crash, and it ended up happening like a week later. So there were very few times where I had dreams and they would come out exactly how I dreamt them. Most of the time it was very symbolic, and I could usually tell when a dream meant nothing and when it had something to do. Those dreams felt more real. There was a lot of emotion tied to it. It felt more like a first person type of dream. In other dreams, I would just kind of be floating around, or it would be like a third person kind of view where I would switch. But the dreams that were symbolic and that had to do with my family or something that was going to happen, it was always first person. I would always remember the entire dream, and I would remember who was there. I would remember what they were wearing, what they said, what emotion I felt. So I didn't really know that I was having prophetic dreams until I actually told my mom, and we went to certain churches, and they were like, yeah, you know, it's so weird because every church that we would go to, even if the pastor didn't know me, somebody would come up to me and say, God chose you from the womb. That's something that was always constant every time I went to a new church. And so it always put this feeling of like, okay, maybe God has something special for me. So I always kind of had that, like, that reverence for God in a way since I was younger. I was like, well, what, you know, I'm having these dreams. I don't know what to do with them. Right. Everybody's telling me that I'm chosen. Like, what does that mean? Had a lot of questions, not a lot of answers.
Yeah, which I think probably plays into what you got into later in life. But it seemed like the beginning of your life was fairly typical, fairly normal. But I know that it all got worse when you moved to the U.S. You kind of touched on it earlier. I think you were 7. Can you explain that period of your life and why that was such a big deal for you?
Yeah, sure. So there was quite a bit of chaos in Puerto Rico, too. Like, how do I explain it? So since my dad was physically abused and there was a lot of things he didn't work through, you know, with his past marriage, with not forgiving his mom, and just some stuff that he experienced with his dad. Because, oh, one thing I just remembered, sorry. So another instance of there being witchcraft with my family, and like with their destiny, if you want to call it that. My dad's parents, my grandparents from my dad's side, they actually ended up divorcing. And that played a huge role in my dad's life, because ever since he was, I think, 12 or 13, he had to take care of his dad. And his dad fell into a huge depression, to where he would basically try to kill himself. He would almost burn the house down. So that kind of scarred my dad in a lot of ways, especially with like drinking and smoking. My dad never did any of that, but a lot of stuff just traumatized him. And so that plays a part, because they got divorced and then my dad got divorced. And I don't know when exactly this happened, but at some point between my dad being divorced and him being with my mom, there was a fortune teller that came up to him. I don't know. I don't remember exactly how this happened. I just know my mom told me this. But she said that everyone from my dad's lineage was going to end up getting a divorce, or that something was going to happen in their marriages, which it actually kind of became true. Like with my first brothers and sisters, they've all been divorced minus one, because she started going to church a lot more and she started, you know, praying and all of that. But it almost did happen with her and something that she went through. I don't know why that just came up, but just a lot of that stress and a lot of that trauma translated into how my dad dealt with his emotions. He kind of just bottled them up. So I felt like growing up, even a little bit in Puerto Rico, I was always walking on eggshells. I just never knew when my dad was going to explode, because any little thing could kind of tick him off and then it would just be this huge explosion for no reason. So I experienced some of that in Puerto Rico, but it really escalated when we moved to Tampa. We decided to come to the United States for better opportunities, better education, but then we were away from all of our family. So then my family finds itself isolated. My mom doesn't really know English, so she's staying in the house. My dad is in this new job. He's working hard, working a lot. Basically, this causes a depression within the family, mostly just between them two. I'm not exactly sure what exactly happened. I just know there was a point in time where my dad fell into a depression and they started putting him on medication. And I actually found out about this later in my life. I didn't know it at the time. He just was very depressed. He was very volatile sometimes, to where he would be fine. And then you could say the wrong thing and he would just explode. He would start screaming. I would hear a lot of the fights that him and my mom would have. They would get violent in the sense that there would be a lot of expression. It would just be a lot of screaming, some pushing around. He never hit her or anything like that. I think my dad just didn't know how to deal with all the pent up emotion. Mm-hmm. Because afterwards he would feel bad about it. He would cry. He would apologize. But it was just that constant up and down of like, he would explode on us. He would come back and apologize. That just made my childhood very volatile, very chaotic. I never knew what to expect. In turn, that led to me suppressing my own emotions and not really knowing how to deal with them, but also having outrageous outbursts, just like out of rage. And eventually it led to me isolating myself, because my mom would pent up her emotions too. She didn't know how to talk to us about it. My dad, there was never any communication between him and I, or between his children and him. So we just never had that emotional connection from the beginning, or that trust.
Right. So it's actually good that you clarified that it wasn't all perfect when you were in Puerto Rico. But it did get worse when you got to the U.S. because you were isolated, you kind of mentioned. But it got worse in a physical sense, but also in a spiritual sense. I know you and your brother started experiencing things. Can you walk me through kind of that whole period of your life?
Yeah. So in a physical sense, it got worse because even though there was one specific moment in Puerto Rico where I remember that my dad actually hit me across the face, it became worse in in Tampa, because it was more constant and it was more aggressive. At that time I was older, so sometimes I would kind of try to step in between them when they were fighting, because I would just see my mom kind of backed up against the corner and my dad just kind of ranging. I think he would actually black out, because a lot of times when we would talk to him about it, he didn't remember a lot of the stuff that he did. And so it kind of caused within me like I knew my dad wasn't a bad person, but I couldn't help but feel like he was the bad guy. And then almost like he was lying to us, like, why why are you apologizing? But then why are you doing it again? So I think that made me feel, I don't know. It just made me feel some things that I didn't know how to process at such a young age. I didn't know how to express them. So that fear that I had during the day, at night it would come out, to where I never realized that this wasn't normal. But when I would sleep just on the edge of the bed, and I wouldn't move the whole night because I was so scared that there was something behind me, or I was scared that if I moved, something would grab me, or that something would attack me. I don't know where that fear came from, but it eventually started turning into me starting to see stuff in the dark, me starting to see like shadows or faces in the dark. And part of me sometimes knew that they might not necessarily be there. But I think just the fear of everything kind of made me just start to see things that maybe weren't there, or just start to kind of project my own internal feelings out into the external. So it was just a lot of fear throughout the night. And got so bad that I started sleepwalking. I would go into my parents' room and try to sleep with them. My sleepwalking wasn't as bad as my brother's. And I think my family has a history of sleepwalking, because around that time, my dad would actually start sleepwalking in the house. There was a time where he actually cooked while he was sleepwalking. And I wouldn't have believed it unless my mom like told me, and she actually left this stuff out. Like the stuff that he used throughout the night. She was like, here, like, this is what you did. But my brother, I think it hit the hardest. My older brother, because I just remember in the middle of the night, almost every single night, I would hear him screaming, and it would be, oh, there's snakes in my bed, or oh, the snakes. It would always, there was a constant theme of snakes in his dreams. And I would find him, and he would be like jumping up on his bed, or, he would be like walking out of the house. Luckily, we had an alarm system in our house. But one time he was literally grabbing the keys to walk out of the house, and the alarm went off. So, and that's when he woke up. He was like, what am I doing? So it was really bad with like the males in the family. For me, it just got as bad as, you know, like walking up to my parents' room or like talking. I would find my brother while he was sleepwalking, and I would have conversations with him thinking that he was awake because his eyes were open. And then I would ask him a question, and he would like come to, and he'd be like, what, like, where am I type of thing. It was just strange. And that's still, it doesn't happen as much now with him, especially because, like I mentioned earlier, I did about a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, I did pray over his dreams and his sleepwalking. But up until a year ago, maybe, there would still be nights where I would wake up at 3 a.m. and I would hear him screaming, or I would hear him talking to himself in his sleep. Not as constant now, but back then.
It's interesting because when you got to the U.S. at 7, it's not just your dad, it's not just you, but it's kind of the whole family that started to experience a lot more darkness. The dreams of snakes obviously are very symbolic. Yeah. Whether you believe in this or not, snakes are associated with the dark, associated with Satan, demons. You were also had a lot of fear, started seeing faces. You talked about your dad blacking out when he got scared, which really does sound like something demonic as well. So it seems like something happened. But it was far from being the worst that you experienced in your life. It got a lot worse when you were 11 and you went to a sleepover at a friend's house. Can you explain what happened that night and the consequences of all of that?
So that night, and also just to clarify, the reason why I think everything got worse when we moved out, not only were we isolated, but now we were away from, you know, even as strict as the families were, as like my grandma was, you know, she still had a sense of Christianity, and she would pray a lot, and she would bring Jesus a lot into our family and into our household. And we would have a community of, you know, we had a fellowship in Puerto Rico. So moving away from that, I think also opened a lot more doors for us to be attacked as a family. So when I was 11, I remember we were close to moving out. We were moving to Naples because my dad got a new job, a better job. And so up until this moment, I don't know if I mentioned this when we talked, but my mom was very strict with me. I think that also it was just very fear-based because of how she grew up. So I could never really go out that much. I was never really allowed to have sleepovers at other people's houses. There was just one friend that I had, and it's because she lived four houses away and they were also Puerto Rican. So grew up very, very isolated still. And so this one time I was just like, hey, like, you know, we're about to leave. Can I, you know, sleep over at this other friend's house? And she was probably like 10 houses away, you know, so I was still relatively secure there. So she finally agreed and I went over and, you know, everything was fine. Her and I, we started painting at first and just, you know, doing things. It was nighttime. This was after we had dinner. And so before this, I noted some weird things about her dad. Just that he was very touchy, feely, but I just kind of chalked it up to culture. You know, like he would hug and there would be a lot of like, a lot of this, a lot of just touching. Just knew that I didn't feel fully comfortable around him, but couldn't really explain why. So I remember we were upstairs and we were in front of a whiteboard and we were just drawing, and she would go to get something. And while she left, her dad would come and he would start like talking to me. It started just with talking. And then when she would leave for longer periods of times, it would be coming up from behind me, asking me, oh, like, what are you drawing? And he would be touching me. He would be like holding on to me. And then one particular moment when she went to the bathroom, I just remember she was gone for such a long period of time and I didn't know why. I don't know if this was normal, and they're not normal, but I didn't know if this happened in their household and that maybe she knew what was happening or what it was, but she just left for a really long period of time. And he came up behind me again and he started whispering things in my ear. I don't even remember what he said. I think at that point I just kind of froze and maybe dissociated, but he was touching me over my chest. He started touching me, you know, in between my legs. She started rubbing up on me from behind. And after that, as soon as she came back out, you know, he would stop. But after that, I asked to call my mom and I left. I don't know what would have happened had I stayed. I don't know. I'm glad I didn't stay to find out, but that really, it really affected me sexually the rest of my life. This is later on in my life, but actually there came a point when I started being sexually intimate with partners that I couldn't be hugged from behind or anything that had to do with somebody being behind me, because I would just start having a panic attack. And for the longest time, I couldn't figure out why, until I finally connected it to that. And so after that, I just became very open sexually. I became addicted to masturbation. I became addicted to sex. I started having feelings for the opposite sex. I don't know if that trauma kind of made me just push men out of my mind. But even as young as I was, I shouldn't have been thinking about all of that stuff. I think it just opened me up sexually in a completely different way. So yeah, I started going online a lot more, and since I wasn't able to go out into the world, I was very isolated physically. My whole world became online. So I started speaking with people online. I started just, you know, online world is such a vast place. I just started looking up stuff and seeing stuff that I shouldn't have been seeing at such a young age. And not necessarily like pornography, just like I was just exposed to such adult content through shows that I was watching, or, you know, through games that I was playing, that I think it just kept opening me up a lot more.
That sexual difference that happened after this specific event that you talked about, that carried over for a long time. But especially when you were 14, you got your first boyfriend. And I'm pretty sure that what happened younger had an impact on that. So can you explain what kind of relationship you had with your first boyfriend at 14?
After that happened with me at 11, I started actually masturbating every night. I'm not sure why, but it just started happening. And this carried on maybe for about 4 years, where it was an every night thing. And so that kind of translated into that relationship where I started experimenting with him sexually. And from that, it became like, since we weren't allowed to see each other outside of high school because we were so young and my parents were so strict with me, we started experimenting in the school. So during lunch break, we would actually go into the empty auditorium and we would just be experimenting with each other. And that led to me losing my virginity around 15, 16, around that time. And then after that, I just became very addicted to sex. I think that was my way of kind of forgetting about all the depression I was experiencing and all the anxiety and all the everything. It was just like my love life was my escape. And that was definitely heightened by all the sexual experimenting that was going on. So yeah, that was kind of like my addiction back then. You know, I wasn't doing drugs, so I was substituting it with having sex and just with doing all of that to try and feel better.
It's interesting that you bring up depression and anxiety because it's at that point in your life that it was the worst. And or at least it started getting really bad. And your parents were worried about you and they sent you to a therapist. Did that therapist have a diagnosis for you at that point?